What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number two. Now, getting on back to Megyn Kelly and her interview with Putin, which didn't get the results she wanted, and her interview with Alex Jones, which has produced a huge backlash. On top of all of that, Megyn Kelly has turned out to be an absolute ratings disaster for NBC. And apparently people just aren't tuning in. I mean, some tuned in for Putin, but they're not getting their money's worth out of her. They paid her $15 million for this, and her numbers are just not good. Meanwhile, you remember when former FBI Director James Comey testified under oath before the Senate Intelligence Committee that a February 14th story run by the New York Slimes implying collusion between Team Trump and the Russians was dead wrong. Somebody just went over to their website. The New York Slimes has not corrected the story yet. Once we tell you a lie, the lie will stand. Now, over at the Gateway Pundit, they're running a story that apparently there is going to be a shakeup in the White House staff, and Sarah Huckabee Sanders is going to permanently replace Sean Spicer as the White House press secretary, and supposedly this is coming from Spicer himself. Now, I say that with the following caveat. There's been a lot of rumor-mongering about White House staffing changes, and it doesn't always work out. So we'll wait and see, but that's the latest that's coming out from there. Let's go back to the phones. Rick in Arizona, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, that one caller that called in about the Dog and Pony Show. It truly is for entertainment purposes only.
Everybody, I don't find it entertaining at all, you know.
Well, okay, I'll make my comment that everybody that you see on TV at that level knows that Trump couldn't get couldn't build a casino in Nevada because he's got some nefarious characters behind him. So if they run into any sparklers, it's just going to be shoved underneath the desk. They don't want to know anything, you know. So that's my, you know, that's my comment for today, Mike. Thanks.
Well, again, the opening statements in the hearings was basically, yes, Russia massively interfered with our election, and that's a given, and we will allow no challenges to that. And that tells you right there, it's pure politics, it's pure propaganda, it's not really an investigation, and it is. It's a witch hunt and a hatchet job against Trump by the entrenched narcocracy. And that's really where the lines are breaking down. In fact, I don't even like to use the phrase deep state. This is the narcocracy, and everybody who's profited from it, against the possibility of a government that might say, you guys really were breaking the law, and maybe it's time for you to stop. So, all right. Well, Rick, thank you very much for the phone call. And let's see. Sessions is out there saying that the suggestion he colluded with the Russians is an appalling and detestable lie. Yes, it is. So this is going to be going on for a little bit longer. Okay, getting on back to the news, let's turn to the war zones. And there are so many of them. And they are breeding like flies out there. Syrian troops are moving closer to Raqqa. And again, the U.S. appears to be dropping chemical weapons on the city. And by that, we mean the white phosphorus. Now, the white phosphorus weapons, again, they are banned under international law. And when Saddam used white phosphorus on the Kurds, the United States was the first to denounce him for daring to use this weapon. And once again, we're seeing this attitude of it's only bad when the other guys do it. When we do it, it's really okay. We're masking our forces, you know, from 8,000 feet in the air. The way a standard Willie Pete munition works is there are these large felt pads inside that are soaked with the white phosphorus solution. And on detonation, they fan on out, and the higher it is detonated from, the wider the area they come on down, and every single one of those pads will start fires on the ground. And that's why they are banned for use over residential areas. If they hit a human being, The white phosphorus will literally burn into their skin right down to the bone, and you cannot put the fire out. If you throw water on it, it's actually going to burn more fiercely. It is an horrific weapon. Ron Paul is out there asking a very legitimate question. Why is the U.S. government attacking the Syrians who are currently fighting ISIS? Which side is the U.S. government on? Well, we know from documents that came on out from the Obama administration and Hillary Clinton State Department that ISIS is actually working for the United States government inside Syria. And there was this smuggling operation to take weapons that had been used in Libya to get rid of Muammar Gaddafi and smuggle them into Syria into the hands of ISIS. So, yes, the U.S. government, even as they're insisting to you that ISIS and Al-Qaeda are terrorist groups and they are bad people that we must destroy, they're working together against Bashar al-Assad. We're going to do a quick shout-out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the network. But Ron Paul is correct. What we're getting is the government that says one thing, we're after ISIS, and what they're doing is very different. They're attacking the Syrians who are fighting ISIS. Now, as you know, the U.S. has attacked three separate times on the Syrian forces. And all three times it was done in order to prevent an encirclement of ISIS forces, to blow a hole in the line of encirclement, allowing the ISIS terrorists a route of escape. And Russia has now issued a warning that the U.S. should not attack any more Syrian-aligned troops. This is coming from Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. They're drawing a line in the sand and moving us one step closer to direct military confrontation between U.S. forces and Russian forces, and I think that's a bad idea. But unfortunately, I'm not in control of our U.S. war policy. Even more alarming is a story that we got out of Sputnik News. Is the U.S. preparing for Assad's removal amid strikes on Damascus allies? And according to Sputnik News, the U.S. government is preparing a large-scale operation aimed directly at Syrian President Bashar al-Assad in order to replace him with a pro-American puppet regime. This is what they've been trying to do for over 5 years. And reading in this article, it looks like they're considering a decapitation strike. Now, that would set a very, very bad precedent. In the modern age of war, where the leaders of countries stay at home in their bunkers and safe, it's considered bad form to go after each other's rulers, primarily out of concern that a headless military might overreact and do something very, very dangerous or nuclear. That's been the rule up until now. But we know the U.S. government is just flagrantly violating international rule, conventions, and so forth. And they were talking about a decapitation strike against Kim Jong-un in North Korea. Now they're talking about a decap strike on Assad in Syria. And that, of course, opens up the possibility of some other nation trying a decapitation strike on the United States government itself, which would be a shame. There's a lot of really good museums in Washington, D.C. that I've never had a chance to visit, and I'd like to someday. But it's very, very dangerous. All right, we're going to take a phone call. Peter in Los Angeles, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael, I just wanted to put up an answer to the question that Ron Paul posed. Why are we in Syria attacking Assad rather than ISIS? And it's the same answer that I would give you for why were we in Iraq? Why were we in Libya? Why are we now in Syria? And that is because Israel and her fifth columnists who dictate our Middle Eastern foreign policy, which then dictates the rest of our foreign policy, told us to do it. Because
That's definitely one reason. But again, do not fall into the trap of thinking that every war and every assassination has only one cause behind it. It is often presented that way in the history books and on movies and TV, but it doesn't really work that way. What happens is you'll have a group of entities, individuals, institutions, governments, who all have their own particular agenda, but they all can be solved with a war or an assassination, and that's when it moves forward and it happens. Yes, Israel is putting pressure on the U.S. government to make war on these countries. But there's also the economic aspect of coercing these nations to sell their oil only for the U.S. dollar. In many cases, there are natural resources that U.S. corporations covet. One of the reasons we're still in Afghanistan is because it's a huge source of lithium, which recently has become very, very important for batteries and so forth. So there's always going to be an overlap of multiple agendas. But there is no question that Israel is definitely pushing their pet Congress critters to agitate for more war.
Well, let me give you two examples that would tell you that they are the true movers and shakers here. And Afghanistan is a little far afield for them, although they like us being in Afghanistan because it outflanks Iran for them. And, of course, they want us to go to Iran, too. That's our next step. But the first one is, of course, nobody else had the agenda on the Liberty. And nobody else could get that covered up or had the juice or the interest in covering up but the Israel and her lobby. The last one, the next one is, what about a couple weeks ago when Trump, after saying 45 times he would not bomb Syria, he didn't want to go into Syria. Remember when he did the initial bombing strike with all the missed cruise missiles?
Yeah, but that was in response to the false flag gas attack at Idlib.
Well, you know, but Michael, the deal is, though, is that everybody knows who controls the media. It's the Jews, the Israelis, basically. At least the Jews do. But they were trumpeting him. They went from wanting to impeach him to 100% we're with you on bombing Syria. Nobody else told them to do that. That's their part and parcel of the whole problem as well.
Well, Peter, I will grant you they're a major part of the problem. With the war agenda, I will grant you that Israel has a hugely disproportionate influence over our government to the exclusion of the American people. But I think you're looking at these events in far too simplistic a manner to really comprehend what's going on. Yes, there's no question. Israel's influence over our government is a threat to our nation in terms of a nation that serves we the people. There's no question about that. And it is very hypocritical for everybody to be out there screaming about Russia trying to interfere in our internal politics. At the same time, the doors are wide open for Israel to do precisely that.
And Mike, let me make the point here also. I talked about the media and I talked about the Israeli lobby, but you know, your argument on the petrodollar, which I agree with, which the petrodollar is a cause, but even those bankers, look who they are. I mean, look who they are as well. It's all an integrated thing in my mind. But the bankers, the media, the Israeli lobby, they're the same thing. They overlap to a huge degree.
Agreed. I agree with you on that one. Okay?
That's why I love you, Mike. All right, man.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, Peter, we're going to let you go here. Thank you very much for the phone call. Now, interestingly enough, there's yet another terrorist group that is offering to join the Syrian opposition coalition if the price is right. And I've never actually even heard of these people before. The Army of Islam is asking for $1 million a month to join the coalition of the opposition in Syria. Doesn't really sound like a group of terrorists. It sounds more like a mercenary army with a media-worthy name, the Army of Islam. So, meanwhile, over in Iran, the head of Strategic Research Center of Iran's Expediency Council, Ali Akbar Velayati, I'm sorry if I mispronounced that, is basically saying that Iran is not going to tolerate Saudi's warmongering any longer. And so it sounds to me like Saudi Arabia is going to be the proxy to launch the long-desired war against Iran so that U.S. politicians will be able to turn to you and say, we had nothing to do with it. We had nothing to do with Yemen. This is a regional conflict between Saudi Arabia and Iran. We certainly didn't want this, but we have to come to the aid of Saudi Arabia. And again, that will put us in opposition to Russia. And I'm seeing a dangerous circumstance where everybody is looking at the immediate war they are pushing for and lobbying for. And nobody is really willing to widen their view to just how close we are to a real world war that could very easily go nuclear. And my analysis has been for a very, very long time that on the day when the United States finds itself mired in too many wars, in too many lands, and cannot win conventionally, and they aren't winning conventionally in Afghanistan and so many other places, they will resort to the nuclear arsenal. And it's going to be a bad day for anybody not wearing 2 million sunblock. Meanwhile, Charles Schumer is coming out opposed to Donald Trump's arms sale to Saudi Arabia, and basically saying that Saudi Arabia is supporting terrorist groups via its relationship with Wahhabism. Now, I have a feeling Chuck Schumer's real agenda here is that Israel is very, very nervous about Saudi Arabia closing the military gap. And this is where Mideast politics becomes very, very complicated. According to a story that came out of Press TV, the United Arab Emirates financed the failed coup attempt last year against Erdogan in Turkey, and apparently they paid about $3 billion. This is coming out of a Turkish newspaper today. And once again, the United States is trying to provoke Russia by flying nuclear-capable bombers toward the Russian border and over in the Baltics, and it was two B-1B Lancer bombers and one B-52N bomber. Now, the U.S. is saying it's a routine mission in the Baltic. Russia is denouncing it as an obvious provocation because the bombers keep flying toward the Russian border, and they turn back only at the last second. Now, part of it's a provocation. The other part of it may be that the U.S. is trying to probe Russia's air defenses to see how quickly the radars come on, how quickly the targeting radars come on. And on the other side, I imagine that Russia is probably not revealing their latest and greatest, because Russia understands the one area where they have superiority over the United States is in electronic warfare. And so they're not going to be turning on the really new, really good stuff until they absolutely have to. In fact, I would speculate that when that Russian aircraft paralyzed the Donald Cook over and over and over and over again, they were probably using some of their older systems. Now, U.S. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis is out there once again screaming that North Korea is the most urgent threat to our security because of their nuclear development and their missile development. I mean, how dare they prepare to defend themselves when we invade? Don't they understand the rules we just made up? When the U.S. invades you, you just roll over and go belly up and let us come on in and do whatever we want. Remember, the United States technically is still in a state of war with North Korea. And we've all been hearing all this belligerent talk about North Korea this and North Korea that, and North Korea is the threat. North Korea has a right to prepare to defend themselves against an attack. And the idea of having a nuclear-tipped ICBM is as a deterrent, that if you invade my country, bad things are going to happen to your country. Have you ever heard the United States government say that our ICBMs, our Minutemen, our Tridents, are weapons of aggression and attack? No, we're always said it's for our defense, it's for deterrence, even though the United States is the only country that's ever actually used a nuclear weapon on the civilians of another country. Now, I would love to see a world where all nuclear weapons are banned. It is impossible. The genie is out of the bottle, cat is out of the bag. The only other way to maintain peace is for all nations to have ICBMs and nuclear weapons. And then everybody else is going to leave them alone. By the way, the USS Carl Vinson that was over there by North Korea is due into here at Pearl Harbor sometime tomorrow. And I'll be looking out the window to see when it does show up. So at least as far as the Carl Vinson, that part has pulled back. Maybe it's a de-escalation, although I understand the Nimitz is now on its way out to that area as well. We're going to take a break here for some commercials, and we'll be back after these few words. We'll be right back. folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I have to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit partdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We've got an update on this story coming out of the White House. Apparently, Sean Spicer is being promoted to the Director of Communications. So he is actually moving up. He's not leaving the White House. And that's why Sarah Huckabee Sanders is going to take over as the White House Press Secretary. So I thought Spicer was doing a really good job. And obviously, this promotion is something that's going to be good for him and good for the Trump White House. Now, getting on back to this idea of all the wars going on, Putin has responded to the threat from North Korea by deploying their anti-missile system in eastern Siberia. And they're putting out the Buk M3, which has absolutely no match among Western armaments. This is the best of their best out there. And they're saying it's there to prevent North Korea from firing missiles at them. I don't think so. We understand the reason the U.S. is trying to put these terminal high-altitude area defense missiles all over Asia and into Europe is to act as an anti-missile shield in the event of an ICBM exchange with Russia. And now Russia is going to do exactly the same thing, put the Buk M3s all along their side of the border to possibly foil an incoming U.S. missile strike. So this thing is all ramping up here. Everybody's getting ready to push that button and hope for the best. And I got to tell you, I don't know what the practices are in the testing of Russia's military weapons. But looking at how rigged the testing of U.S. weapons systems has been to make them look good and worth the money, and then you get on out there in the real world, in real combat, and they fail miserably, I really have little confidence of the survivability of a nuclear war. Now, a little bit of good news out of North Korea. There was an American named Otto Warmbier, who's a student, and he was arrested for anti-state activities. Actually, he was a suspected spy, and he was sentenced to 15 years at hard labor. And apparently, coincident with Dennis Rodman paying a return visit to Pyongyang, North Korea has now released the student, and Tillerson is out there preening and trying to take credit for it. So that worked. Maybe things are backing off. And by the way, somebody just sent me an email saying the Ronald Reagan is actually on its way back to Australia. So maybe they're pulling off from that. And Mattis is just smoking opium out there screaming about North Korea, North Korea. Getting on down to Israel and Palestine, things in Gaza are going from bad to worse. As you may already be aware, Israel has cut electricity going into Gaza severely. And now they're going to cut it back even more, cutting it back by 40%, turning an already dire situation into a catastrophe. And prior to this cut, Gaza only got electricity for 4 hours a day. And this made life very difficult for hospitals, which only have so much fuel for their emergency generators, the desalinization and sewage treatment plants. And because of Egypt's crackdown on the cross-border tunnels, the Gazans aren't able to bring in more fuel for the generators that they do have. So this is collective punishment of a captive population, which, by the way, is a war crime. So let's talk about America's weapons system. As we reported yesterday, all of the F-35 fighters at the Luke Air Force Base in Arizona were grounded following multiple complaints by the pilots of hypoxia, meaning that at altitude they were not getting the oxygen needed for their brains to work. Now, fortunately, there is an emergency oxygen system in the cockpit that the pilots were able to turn on and land safely. And apparently they're not able to identify what the problem is, and they can't confirm that it is only those particular F-35s at Luke Air Force Base. So what had started out as a temporary grounding of the F-35s is now extended indefinitely. And if you go back and you look at the F-22 and how they still have not solved that problem with asphyxiating its pilots, boy, oh boy, that's for all that money, they do not work. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The new word on the street is bloated. Yeah, you eat this food, GMO, herbicide, pesticide. Foods aren't safe anymore. And then we eat them and we're bloated. Our stomach says, no, no, no more, Seymour. So what we have to do is drink the tea. Are you on the tea? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Super strength tea. It will help you with the new word, bloated. You can get it today. Log on to GetTheTea.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility. Provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, and let's talk about the economic news. As we mentioned earlier in the week, actually yesterday, Friday's NASDAQ had a bit of a downturn, and it's looking like there may be trouble in the tech sector, mostly because people don't have the money to buy the latest and greatest whiz-bang. As long as their existing smartphones, tablets, and laptops are working, they're happy to hang on to them. This idea of planned obsolescence, of getting people to buy a new phone or a tablet every 3 to 5 years, it works in a healthy economy when people are able to earn decent wages and salaries. It doesn't work in an economy where people are just barely able to pay their bills, and the sales numbers are showing it. So basically, Apple fell 2.5% after Mizuho Securities cut its rating on the tech giant to neutral from buy. This is the second downgrade in a week. Netflix dropped 4.2%. Amazon lost 1.4%. Alphabet dropped 0.9%. Facebook down 0.8%. Now, the harsh reality is, despite all the media propaganda about the recovery this and unemployment that, the reality is right now in the United States, 72% of all businesses are not showing any profit at all. They're treading water or they are failing. And we are still seeing more and more retail chains are going into bankruptcy or restructuring, and they're closing retail outlets. Meanwhile, over in Europe, they have fallen into the instant money trap the way the U.S. has. And the European Central Bank is printing millions of euros trying to prop up the eurozone until 2019. And I'm not sure why they're having that particular deadline. But remember, when they started with TARP and bailouts and quantitative easing, we were told those were simply temporary measures and everything was going to be just hunky-dory after that. Didn't work out. Once you start trying to inflate the debt away, you are stuck. You're going to wind up in Zimbabwe territory. Story coming out of Blacklisted News. The next financial crisis has already arrived in Europe, and people, at least in Europe, are starting to freak out. Hasn't really sunk in here at the United States just yet. They think there's an ocean that's protecting them, but it isn't due to economic globalism. And we're talking, of course, about the sixth largest bank in Spain failed in spectacular fashion a few days ago. And a lot of people are comparing the sudden implosion of Banco Popular to the collapse of Lehman Brothers in 2008. And EU regulators hastily arranged a sale of the failed bank to Santander in order to avoid a full-scale financial panic. But it's a stopgap measure. And Americans should be paying attention, because remember, in 2008, it was because of economic globalism, of no controls over the borders, of everybody buying each other's derivatives, that the meltdown of the mortgage-backed security fraud on Wall Street spread to Europe and almost destroyed many of the banks over there. And there were all these funny stories about gold certificates being moved around and a lot of obviously panic behavior trying to keep things looking good here. Story out of SovereignMan.com. Banks are becoming less safe again. And basically it's talking about data showing a simple but concerning trend. Banks in the United States are becoming less safe. And that is followed up by an article out of Goldcorp saying, "In gold we trust." And they have a bunch of charts and research. Apparently, gold prices are going up again, despite the best efforts to dilute them with the paper contracts. And investors are wising up. They're understanding those contracts. You're not going to get gold. If you contract for gold with those contracts, you may not get the gold. The laws concerning these particular commodities were changed, where the gold brokerages now have the option. When that contract comes due, they don't have to give you the gold you contracted for. They can give you its cash equivalent. Well, the whole point of holding gold is to not see its value inflated away. And if they give you a big stack of ink and paper, it's going to start losing its value to inflation. There's almost no point in buying a gold contract if you're not actually going to get the gold. And they're still pouring those gold contracts out there because it's the only device they have to keep gold prices down, and the same thing's being done with the silver market. In fact, all the precious metals out there. Everybody listening to this show ought to have some silver and gold as wealth preservation. Buy it in small amounts in order to avoid a lot of records being kept of it, and keep it under your own control. Don't even put it in your safety deposit box, because the laws of the United States were changed. If the banks get into trouble, they are now allowed to loot your safety deposit box of valuables in order to put on their balance sheet and keep themselves solvent. The laws have clearly moved away from protecting the bank customer to protecting the banks themselves. Because in the eyes of the U.S. government, you human beings are absolutely worthless other than as a source of labor and new soldiers and new workers. And the banks must be preserved at all costs. And it's not exactly a new attitude. We saw the same thing back in the 1930s with gold confiscation. Now, Putin is meeting with Ethereum to create a Russian national virtual currency. And they're bringing in the blockchain technology. The Bank of Russia has already set up an experimental link with some of the banks in Europe to test it out and get it working. And Ethereum is coming on as a strong challenger to Bitcoin. And again, I think virtual currencies are definitely a way to go, but I do not think they should be a replacement for cash, because all computers break down, and we've already had a couple of nasty stories about people who are dependent on cards not being able to eat. Whether it was this listener who wrote in about how all the card machines in her supermarket quit working and nobody could check out, and that story we ran yesterday about how the food stamp system down in Georgia, for some reason, the cards were all empty. They didn't have the proper allocated amount of money in there, and people couldn't get food for their families. So I don't see cash as going away. Besides which, what would the politicians stick in the G-strings of the strippers if they outlawed cash? Let's get real here. All right, we're going to take a phone call. Lenny in Los Angeles, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, yeah, I want to talk about the economy. A few days ago, you were you posted on your site, and like I said, I can only call in today, but you posted on your site about Jim Cramer screaming his head off about recommending to people buy Bitcoin, even though it's already seems about as high as it can go. Now, I don't know if you remember this, but he was screaming his head off to the people about buying Lehman Brothers right before it crashed.
I remember that was a huge, huge embarrassment. And again, the question was, did he hold a lot of Lehman Brothers stock? Was he trying to drive it up so that he could get out and get his money out? I really think these financial reporters on all these networks, I think the public has a right to know where their money is invested, because obviously it's going to influence their reporting. They're going to be pushing the stocks that they're holding that they want to see grow. Or they may be attacking stocks that are a threat to the stocks they hold, and the possibility for less than wonderful accurate reporting needs to be addressed.
Yeah, and here's the thing. What I like to see you do, there's a clip when Jon Stewart took him on for doing that. Jon Stewart accused him of being on the tape, okay? And he took him on The Daily Show about what he did. And Jim Cramer apologized. I won't do it again. I wouldn't do that again. But here he is doing it again. So if you can post, what he said a few days ago, and post what Jon Stewart taking him on back in 2009, I think it would be a great comparison for people to see. Also, I remember watching him right after that. And the so-called money honeys who he would, Maria Bartiromo and I forget who the other two were, they flat out asked him, well, Jim, what are you buying? I mean, what are you buying? And he quickly said, gold, and then moved quickly away from it. See if you can find that.
Yeah.
Throw it up there too.
I'll have to hunt that down here. I mean, first of all, I personally don't have the money to be investing in the stock market. And if I did, I still wouldn't invest in the stock market. I did try investing in gold coins a while back, and then I made the mistake of eating the chocolate bit out of the middle, which, as I understand it, totally destroys its resale value. So that's where I'm coming on that. But, yeah, I'll hunt that down, especially the Jon Stewart clip on there. I mean, when Jon Stewart was still at the helm of The Daily Show, I absolutely loved it, and I absolutely no interest in watching the show now.
Neither do I. And but the thing is that here's the great thing about these crooks. We have the ability, like you said, now with all this technology. See, they put it out there. They used it. They figured they would use it to spy on us, but they never figured that some of us would be smart enough to use it against them. Okay, so now we can go out and grab this stuff of them contradicting themselves, them flat out lying about what they're doing.
That's one of the most powerful things that you can do, and it's been amazing. I've seen a lot of people putting together these pages about all the statements that were made about the Russian collusion, where CNN is saying one thing one day, and then 2 days later they're saying the exact opposite, and it's very important to put those comparisons together and get them out to the public eye so that they can see how much the corporate media is, in fact, compromised.
Yeah, and I know you're in Clarence business, so I'm urging the listeners that are listening, you know, from this conversation, do your homework and help Mike out. Send him this stuff so, you know, he can take pressure off himself and get this stuff up so the people can see. There are people listening all over the world. But if we keep lighting the fire, we keep, you know, in reference to a biblical story, you know, when Samson set the fox's tail on fire, everywhere the fox ran in the field, he set the field on fire and burned them down. So through the information, we can just burn up. You know, the falsetto or the false appearance of what they're trying to throw to us every day. So I'm just saying, let's help each other out here.
Well, thank you very much. That's good information. I'm definitely going to want to hunt down that John Stewart video. But you're right. Kramer ran up Lehman Brothers and then it collapsed. Now he's screaming about Bitcoin at $1 million. I don't see that as actually happening. Absent some nefarious manipulation.
Yeah, whether it does or not, are you going to trust him this time after what he did to the people the last time? He screamed, buy Lehman Brothers. And I'm telling you, by Monday, Friday, he said buy, and by that Monday, it crashed.
Well, I will not watch Jim Cramer after what he did to Iron Man. So that's the end of that story.
All right, man. Have a good day.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch to Glenn in Philadelphia. Glenn, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mike. Hi.
Hi.
This falls under the heading of things I've been wrong about all my life.
Yes.
Julius Caesar, in the play Julius Caesar, a lot of times that scene where the senators are stabbing him and then Brutus also stabs him, and Caesar says, "Et tu, Brute?" You know, "You too, Brutus?"
Mm-hmm.
Is used as an example of a wicked betrayal. But I heard a literature professor clarify this one time a couple of years ago. I thought it was interesting. Caesar considered Brutus as, you know, his mentor and his confidant and advisor, and trusted his judgment implicitly. And so this is why Julius Caesar says, you know, he just says, "Et tu, Brute?" And then, if you see fit for Caesar to die, then let Caesar die. In other words, he's deferring to his judgment even when he's turned on him, which I thought was fascinating. It kind of explains why he says, you know, then let Caesar die, you know.
I've heard that analysis myself as well.
Yeah, I just think that's interesting, because we go around with all these ideas about what things mean, and then here it is. It's like, oh, I thought it was like the other way around, like my whole life, you know. The other thing I wanted to mention was this thing with the F-35. I'm wondering if maybe somebody didn't finally get around to turning on a back door in one of the chips for the F-35. You know, they did the F-22s early on, and you know, this idea of using all these foreign-made electronics in these planes and stuff is just crazy.
So, I agree. You know, I agree. Whether they're made in China or made in Israel, there are rumors going on around that Israel managed to hack the electronics of the S-300 and S-400, and that's why Israel's planes are able to fly over Syria with impunity.
Oh my goodness! But one last thought about the cryptocurrencies. You know, people say don't buy certificates or paper gold or whatever, because it's worth precisely the paper it's printed on and nothing more. Well, if that be the case, how much less can vaporware such as Bitcoin be trusted? I mean, I remember there was a Bitcoin crisis where a bunch of Bitcoin got, you know, ripped off or disappeared or something like that. And now they're floating all these other cryptocurrencies like Ethereum. And every day I go on blogs and see about some new whiz bang, get on the ground floor, you know, cryptocurrency. It's like, I'm thinking this is just a mess. This is just siphoning money off from people. And then poof, the vaporware disappears somewhere in the ether.
Yeah, there's a big scandal going on about Coinbase right now. We're going to get into that a little bit later in the show. And I agree, a currency that is that virtual can easily be manipulated, easily be hacked. I think that any monetary system that is not tied to a commodity base of known recognized value is doomed to ultimately fail through inflation, through manipulation, and we need to go back to that commodity base. Now, the commodity has to be available in ample enough supply where it can't be hoarded and monopolized, and it has to be able to grow in volume with the population, which is why I think that we ought to think about tying currency to a unit of electricity, a kilowatt hour. And I actually wrote a paper on that talking about the electro as a unit of currency. And it can be tokenized in order to have a currency or a cryptocurrency, but it's tied to a commodity base, which makes it much more difficult to inflate and to manipulate.
Yeah, but one good coronal mass ejection and poof, you know, but I prefer precious metals such as lead and brass.
Well, you're right about the coronal mass ejection or, you know, a gamma ray burst, and we don't have to worry about any of this stuff anymore. All right, well, listen.
I liked Hitler's idea of an hour of labor, I thought that was a good one. Anyway.
Yeah,
all right, thank you.
It wasn't really held to that, but it was something that gave it a solid base on which to build. And it worked, of course. It worked, the German miracle. We're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be back after these few words.
Nutramedicals Power C Plus is the greatest important breakthrough in vitamin C technology since Linus Pauling. It is the only neutral pH vitamin C in the world as a calcium, magnesium, potassium, sodium ascorbate salt with bioperin, a black pepper extract, to increase absorption by 40%. When you take Power C Plus, it helps to alkalinize all the cells of your body instantly, raise the oxygen level and energetic level of cells, suppress cancer and inflammation in your body, and help you fight infections. Power C Plus also helps to build up the collagen in your body, hyaluronic acid in your joints, and the glycosaminoglycans in your joints, as well as to improve healing of any tissue in your body. Power C Plus is very unique at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com, where you can order, or 888-212-8871. That's NutriMedical, NutriMedical.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio.
visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're going to take another phone call. Kevin in West Virginia, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Mike, how are you today?
I'm hanging in there.
All right. Well, I was watching the Sessions testimony today, and, of course, that ended up being a big nothing burger with a couple bombshells dropped by Sessions, you know, with saying how Comey perjured himself and stuff. But here's my question, a couple questions, actually. My first one would be, could you imagine if they could get Hillary Clinton, John Podesta, and, what's the other one? Well, at least those two, in the exact same setting as they had Senator Sessions in today? Could you imagine what could come out of that?
It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen.
No, it'll never happen.
You need to understand, with the narcocracy, almost everybody inside that beltway is part of it. That's why they all view Donald Trump as such a threat. Remember, there was this anonymous FBI agent, one of the people who was very much angry at the way Comey was protecting Hillary, was out there posting on various message boards. The Clinton Foundation was a giant slush fund, tax avoidance scheme, money laundry, and almost anybody of any name in Washington, D.C. were taking part in it. So they're all dirty with it. And we're seeing the double standards already. They're going to go after Trump and his people, hammer and tong. But when they were talking with any of Hillary's people, it was all softball questions.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, this has gone completely bizarre. And I only live like an hour outside of D.C., hour and a half. I mean, I don't go down there because I'm District of Criminals, you know, of course. But you know, I'm 32 years old. I'm young. I want to start running for office. I mean, I'm not going to sell out or anything like that. But, you know, I want to try to make a change. You know, is that the right thing to do? And how does one go about doing that?
Well, right now, again, going back to that little blurb about supporting RBN, our most potent weapon is information and getting that information out to the ordinary American people to basically wake them up to the fact that they have spent most of their life being lied to by the government, by the corporate media, by corporations in general, and they need to come to terms with the sheer scale of the lies. We're the most lied to people on the face of the earth, and now we're beginning to realize it. And people are turning away from the government. They're turning away from the corporate media. Polls are showing record low levels of trust in government and corporate media, and they're coming over here to the independent media, which is why there is now literally a war being declared on us, trying to go after our advertisers, go after our web servers. The Washington Post declared us all arms of Russian propaganda, which we have on a coffee mug around here somewhere. And, I mean, but that's really what's going on out here. And again, there's a strong parallel with what was going on when Gutenberg rediscovered movable type printing. And all those established power centers all of a sudden felt a threat because they were losing control over what people were thinking. And we're going through that in the United States again today. Anyway, Kevin, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go, take a break for station identification, back with a couple more phone calls, and then we're going to get back to the news.
Probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap, but did you know some companies take shortcuts? At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.